isolated. Yeah. Worldwide.
What's going on? The MMA podcast is back. It's fight night, October 7th, 2017. We're here for the pre-fight show, UFC 216, about to kick off literally here in about 20 minutes, and we are breaking down all the fights. We have two title fights, a flyweight title fight between Demetrius Johnson looking for his 11th title defense. That would be a UFC record, passing Anderson Silva, looking to defend it against Ray Borg. We also have a much anticipated fight between Tony Ferguson and Kevin Lee for the interim UFC lightweight championship. Going to talk about those two fights and the rest of the card. Thanks for tuning in to the UFC 260 pre-show. Let's do it!
Listening to the MMA podcast.
That's right. It is the MMA podcast. It is the UFC 216 pre-show MMA podcast. And as always, we're joined by your boy, Sweet Pappy Jones, over on the West Coast in Southern Cali. Pat, how you hanging?
Oh, Big Jake, we are having a super Saturday. It's fight day. Very excited to do a little live pre-show and post-show with you. It's I can't even recall the last time we were going on air the same day as the event, except for, well, no, I was going to say the Vegas shows, but that was kind of a night before. This may be breaking ground for the MMA podcast. Fun times.
Breaking ground, yeah, We're trying new things out, and we were going to do a podcast a few nights ago. Things came up, and we said, you know what? It's going to be a fight night. Everyone's going to be waiting for the prelims to kick off. So let's do it. We are doing it on Ustream as well. So if you are right now listening on Ustream, thank you for the support. You can probably see on the graphic there is a number to call in: 213-457-3380. If you call that number right now, you will be connected to the conversation. If you don't feel like talking, just tweet us. But yeah, give us your takes on UFC 216 we're going to be talking about. I did want to start off quickly first with a non-UFC 216 topic. We didn't do a podcast this week, so we missed the weekend news, which honestly wasn't much. There weren't any events last weekend to break down. But one thing that was made official, Max Holloway versus Frankie Edgar, was made official a few days ago as the headliner for that UFC 218 card on December 2nd in Detroit, Michigan. So we finally, you know, see who Max is going to defend his title against first. Edgar made the most sense. The delay kind of had me a little bit worried that Frankie wouldn't get plugged in there, but looks like we are going to see that fight between Max and Frankie. This is interesting style-wise. You know, Max definitely, Max for sure dominated Aldo, especially toward the end of that fight, but Frankie Edgar is a completely different puzzle. I don't want to do a full breakdown now, obviously, because this fight is in less than 2 months, and we'll be breaking it down as it gets closer. But what are your initial kind of thoughts? Kind of which way are you leaning? I mean, it's so difficult to pick against either guy. They've both been so hot, and both looked so untouchable, and both bring very different things to the table. You know, Frankie obviously is the older guy. Max has youth on his side. But, man, Frankie seems to knock down basically whoever you put in front of him. What are you thinking about this UFC 218 headliner?
Well, I was kind of with you, Jake. I was surprised that this fight was just being made official. I mean, as soon as Max had won the belt, I think pretty much everybody except for Cub Swanson thought that Frankie Edgar would be the first person to challenge him for the belt. So X amount of months later, we finally get the announcement. I think everybody's pretty satisfied with that one. This is just going to be a fantastic scrap. I mean, Frankie Edgar, I want to say I had picked him to beat Aldo in their rematch. I was made to look very foolish with that pick. Like you said, Frankie Edgar, he normally destroys everybody he fights. He is truly one of the best. And as is Jose Aldo, or as was, you know, they both at 155 and even at 145, two of the best mixed martial artists that we've seen. Max Holloway, though, this gentleman, he is part of the new breed. I mean, my goodness, still in his early 20s, and he just keeps getting better and better. He debuted in the UFC as a 4-0 professional and has just looked great since, looked better and better. The only person besides Nate Diaz that Conor McGregor could not finish, and his game just keeps getting better and better. He's almost reminded me of like 145-pound Dillashaw or Cruz or something to that effect. Just great footwork. He's really just improving in all areas. This is going to be a tough test for Edgar. Edgar is my boy. He is the answer. He usually finds the answer. But, yeah, I'm going to have to do a lot of analysis leading up to this fight to really attempt to make any kind of accurate pick. This is just top-notch scrapping.
Top-notch scrapping. Indeed, my friend. I'm looking down the old MMA Reddit on the top news of the week. It was very, very, very slow. You know, obviously, this UFC 216 event is in Las Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena just about a week after that terrible shooting, which, you know, if you, you know, I said the same exact thing during the hurricanes. If you have the wherewithal to donate, look online, see what the good, you know, charities are. I'm not going to tell you where to donate, but, you know, just give blood, do what you can. It was an unthinkable nightmare over in Vegas. It's really good what the UFC is doing as far as hosting 1,500 first responders and some of those wounded in that Las Vegas attack. But you know, life goes on, and just about a week later, just you know, a few hundred yards away at the T-Mobile Arena, this will be going down. Dana said the event will definitely have a lot of focus on that. He did wear a Vegas Strong shirt during the weigh-ins and all that. So I thought it was really good of the UFC to sort of kind of support everyone they could from that angle. We did have drama leading up to the event just yesterday, you know, and man, is it getting tiresome as an MMA fan to have all of the, like, I forget who pointed out on Twitter, but we get just about as much drama the day before the fights now as we do the day of. I mean, you know, people not making weight and people getting sick, a la Amanda Nunes, Valentina Shevchenko at UFC 213. And once again, we had drama, which was Kevin Lee missing weight the first time. There was a little controversy around the fact that he was given an extra hour. I guess the extra hour is given at the discrepancy of the Nevada State Athletic Commission, which is interesting, because when Johnny Hendricks missed weight by a quarter of a pound at UFC 200 back in July 2016, under the same rules, he was not given the extra hour to cut literally 4 ounces of weight. But Kevin Lee was. It seems very shady. It's definitely unfair. You know, I mean, unless there's some angle I'm missing, it's for sure not fair. But at the same time, as somebody who's been looking forward to this event for a while, I'm not going to complain that Kevin Lee was given an extra hour, because he obviously only had a pound to lose. He did make weight, so this will be still a interim title fight. As much value as you want to give an interim belt, I guess that that's up to the viewer. But also a lightweight bout between Nick Lentz and former Bellator lightweight champion Will Brooks was slated for the prelims. However, the pairing was scrapped during the weigh-ins of the event as Lentz was stricken with medical issues and deemed unfit to compete. Obviously, as you see with things like this, Lentz tweets out a semi-excusable reason. Brooks calls him a liar and a pussy, etc., etc. That's usually how it goes in situations like this. Brooks, there were talks that if Lee wasn't able to make weight, that they might just plug Will Brooks into the main event. Lee obviously did make weight, so Will Brooks will not have a dancing partner and will watch the fight. I don't know if he will be given his show purse or what. Also, I think KGB Andrea Lee was supposed to fight on this card, but that was scrapped because it was revealed that, you know, because of USADA testing, you have to be tested, I think, 6 months, like for a solid 6 months up to your first fight. And Lee hasn't been signed and in the UFC long enough to clear that 6 months. They did an exception for Brock Lesnar. Unfortunately, Andrea Lee is no Brock Lesnar, so she's going to have to sit until she meets that six-month USADA requirement. I think that was it. I think Paige Van Zandt actually was supposed to fight Jessica Eye on this event. However, recently, I think just a couple weeks ago, I was pulled from the card, and everything was rescheduled for later. Man, you just... I don't know if it's that era in the UFC or what, but a lot of movement. But you know what? We have the main fights we wanted to see here. We have Ferguson Lee. We have Johnson Borg. We got ourselves a pretty fun card, actually. Let's start with the prelims. I can't find any other real news that we... Last week we talked about Magny Condit and how Condit was looking for an opponent. He's got one. Neil Magny, UFC 219. Magny is a very versatile guy, but dude, I'm leaning Condit here heavy. I feel like Condit has won. I mean, God, the guy probably should have been given the title when he fought Lawler last. I think he's got one more title run in him. Magny is such a great fighter. I mean, really only loses to the best of the best, but I feel like Condit is that best of the best level that has the skills to beat him. And that'll be UFC 219, end of the year card, December 30th, I believe. Which way you lean in there before we get back into UFC 216? It's UFC 216 pre-fight show brought to you by no sponsors because we don't have enough listeners to get one.
But that's all right. That's coming soon. Man, Magny Condit, great fight. As you mentioned, Magny, he's a top 170 pounder. He kind of like Max Holloway at 145. He really enjoys a generous advantage due to his frame. He's super tall, very rangy for 170 pounds. I don't know what he's officially listed at. He's got to be at least 6'4", maybe even 6'5", and 170 pounds. And he's really, since his Ultimate Fighter days, he's really come into his own. Another guy that's really improved everywhere. He's only really had troubles over the years. And when he gets to that top of the top, your Damian Maia's or, you know, someone of the like, pretty much everybody else he's been beating. Carlos Condit, though, the natural born killer, man, I don't think Magny's going to have a good time. I mean, I've got to look into this one a little further myself, just announced a couple days ago. But, I mean, initially, there's not many people you choose to beat Carlos Condit. I'm also with you, Jake. I think that Condit absolutely should have been given the belt following his fight with Robbie Lawler. That was just such a joke. And, you know, if we're talking about jokes, the UFC's inability to do anything on a consistent level, be it punish fighters or, you know, reward fighters, the rules, you know, you had mentioned Kevin Lee and his, you know, his missed weight, his ability to get another shot to make weight, you know, how Johnny Hendricks was not afforded that same opportunity. If I recall correctly, those events were both held in the same state under the same Athletic Gaming Commission. But, you know, there you go. Just the unevenness, indecisions, you know, Brock Lesnar being able to enter despite, you know, surpassing the USADA testing pool. We saw how that worked out, you know, them not letting KGB Lee do that. So they are next to the NFL, just the kings of disproportionate rules and double standards. It just doesn't make sense with a lot of the things that they're doing, including matchmaking. I mean, even how is Kevin Lee versus Tony Ferguson going to headline for an interim belt over Demetrius Johnson and Ray Borg? That is such a travesty and such a sham. Interim belts in and of themselves are a sham, but to put an interim title fight above Johnson's attempted record-breaking title defense is just absolute horse shit. I can't even understand it. So I think I'm kind of getting off on a little tangent there, going from MagniCon into all that.
Preach. Just, preach, brother, preach.
You know, dang, man, dang. Let's call it what it is, Jake. It's some grade-A horse manure.
You don't take kindly to it. My thoughts aren't that different than yours on that. What else do we got here? I think that's about it. Anthony Johnson planning on returning to the UFC as a heavyweight. Already has met with the UFC about it. We'll see where that goes. Let's get into UFC 216, this fight that right now is kicking off on Fight Pass. Go ahead. Put on your UFC Fight Pass, but mute it up. Listen to us. That's the key. We got the prelims kicking off right now. We have it's going to start off with Talis Laettes against Brad Tavares. Then we got John Moraga versus Magomed Bibuletov and Walt Harris versus Mark Goodbeer. As much as Talis Laettes has been hanging around the top 15 of the middleweights, which has been, I mean, freaking forever now, over a decade. The guy has always been equipped with not just a ton of technique, but power, finishing ability, and has a ton of impressive wins on his record. But the guy's starting to get older. He's 36. We're in the era of USADA testing where you can't really get into your older 30s and 40s and keep swinging like the fighters of old could. On the juice. So he's taking on a much younger Brad Tavares, who, I mean, you talk about toolboxes. The guy is very well equipped, has awesome kickboxing. More importantly, and I think will be the key to this fight, has really good cardio. I don't think Talis has the tools to finish it early. And the more that Brad chops away as the fight goes on, his cardio, I think, will end up deciding the fight. I have Tavares there by decision. John Moraga and Magomed Bibuletov. Moraga is known to be a home run hitter, and I don't think he is able to connect against a guy like Magomed. I think he's really shown some good striking, great footwork. Those Russians, I mean, they have awesome movement, great head movement, great footwork. I think Moraga gets frustrated when he can't land, and I think Bibuletov is able to finish him in the second or third round. Walt Harris versus Mark Goodbeer. This is another example of someone, I think, in Walt Harris that will be able to, as the fight goes on longer, chop his opponent down. He's shown those awesome kicks. Godbeer, the Brit, has shown some really good boxing, but I don't know if he will be able to show that off that well against a guy in Walt Harris who started off slow. I think he started off like winless in his first three UFC fights, but since turning it around, is 3-1, looking good. I got Walt Harris getting the victory here. The big boy, 6'5", 251. The big ticket from Birmingham, Atlanta. I feel like he gets the win there. By the way, I don't think I took any underdogs there. I didn't go out on a limb at all. I think Bibuletov is the biggest favorite on the card, sans Demetrius Johnson at -600, Walt Harris -340, and Brad Tavares is -175. So, should the Harris and Bibulatov fights seem Vegas seems pretty sure about. Not as much with Tavares Laetes, but personally, I feel like Tavares would have to fuck up, make a mistake big time to lose to the 36 or 38 year old Brazilian. We got three fights there on the Fight Pass. Pat, who you got?
Oh boy, Jake. Well, you know what? First of all, I gotta say this is a pretty dang good Fight Pass prelim portion of the card. Names on every fight. That's some good stuff. That's what you like to see. You know, if you're a Fight Pass subscriber and you're just tired of paying for three fights that is like, you know, who versus who. Very, very nice little bonus there. And as far as who I'm taking, man, I'm siding Brad Tavares over Laetes. Tavares, he's still, you know, he's younger. He's 29. As you mentioned, Talis Laetes, although competing at the top level, he's getting up there. He is 2-3 in his last five. Tavares is on a two-fight winning streak. His only loss as of late was to Robert Whittaker, which actually sent him up to the middleweight division. And, or no, I'm sorry. That I'm completely mistaken there. He's still fighting at 170. I don't know why I'm tripping there. But no, Tavares, solid. He's got the hands. He's got the wrestling. Talis Laetes is a very strong grappler, competed at the top levels. Not counting him out, but I'm going with Tavares in this one. Bibulatov, former World Series of Fighting flyweight champion. He's won a few different championships. Undefeated. Definitely looks like a very solid prospect. Highly favorited over John Moraga. I'm taking him in this one. Walt Harris versus Mark Godbeer. A coin toss for me, kind of. I'm also going with the big ticket, Walt Harris. But, I mean, my goodness, these are some big heavyweights in Harris and Godbeer. One punch could really change things. I'm thinking the big ticket punches his ticket, though, and remains in the win column, goes to 3 in a row.
And we are here breaking down these UFC 216 prelims, which should have been kicking off on the UFC Fight Pass at 6:30 Eastern here. They've been pushed to 7 o'clock because we have a fight on the main pay-per-view card that has been canceled as of 10 minutes ago. A fight on the main pay-per-view card.
Holy again, fuck.
Has been canceled. Pat, have you heard the news yet?
I have not, Jake, but I'm very curious.
Hey, Pat, the fight wasn't the woman's flyweight fight that nobody cares about, unfortunately. That's still going on the pay-per-view main card. Mara Barella versus Kalindri Faria. Benny Eldarush and Evan Dunham is still going on the main card.
Thank God.
Fabricio Verdum and Derek Lewis has been canceled. It hasn't been released which one of them got injured, but apparently according to John Anik's Twitter, which Anik's Twitter seems pretty reliable, Anik is saying, quote, Fabricio Verdum versus Derek Lewis is off due to an injury to one of the fighters. First fight now at 4 p.m. Pacific. That's 7 p.m. Eastern. That is 24 minutes from right now when I'm talking live on Ustream. If you are listening to us, you, of course, can tweet in, call in, give us your hot takes, who you think is injured, what happened. I'm sure you don't know, but give us your wild hot takes. But yeah, that sucks. Damn, I hope whoever was injured, whether it was Lewis or Verdum, I hope they're all right. But and I hope this fight can get rescheduled because it was pretty intriguing. Yeah, I'm kind of scanning through Twitter right now, not really seeing much about it. I don't think anyone knows. Who knows? Blah 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 blah. It's a chronic injury. Maybe this might be a chronic injury from Derek Lewis. I don't know. That's just whispers on Twitter. We really have no idea. But that fight is off. So, fuck us. But you know what? Damn, we're still getting those. Hey, it's not the main event. It's not the co-main event. And, you know, I was just saying.
Yes, yes.
Man, we have so much drama these days leading up. It is like we can't go a fight day without a fight getting canceled. Or, I mean, this, I mean, it's not just me. This hasn't been going on. Like, back, I don't remember this going down 08 to 2015, but I feel like the last year or two, we just constantly, almost now with regularity, we get big fights that get can't, like, at least one out of every four big fights, one out of every three big fights even, get canceled the day of or the day before the event goes down. It's insane. And yeah, this was the third, you know, this was the third biggest fight on the card, Fabricio versus Derek Lewis. Now axed, because one of the dudes got injured. So that sucks. You really can't blame Derek Lewis. You know, you can't blame any of the individual instances of someone getting injured, because we don't know their, you know, what they're going through. But it's just, it's either MMA is cursed, or I don't know what it is. But yeah, Derek Lewis, Fabricio Werdum off UFC 216. We will keep breaking down the card though. The prelim card on FX kicks off as usual at 8 p.m., an hour after the UFC Fight Pass prelims end, like I said, on FX. We got Matt Schnell versus Marco Beltran, Pearl Gonzalez versus Paulina Botelho, Bobby Green versus Lando Venata, Tom Dukanoy against Cody Stamann. I'm not really that concerned about the first two. Pearl obviously had that, you know, 15 minutes of fame back at UFC 210, because I guess they weren't going to, like, let her fight because of her boobs or something, but then they did, and she just got a ton of attention because of that, and then she got stomped out at UFC 210. But she is back now fighting at the T-Mobile Arena against Paulina Botelho. I am interested in Bobby Green versus Lando Venata and Tom Dukanoy. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. The Frenchman against Cody Stamann. Bobby Green, Lando Venata. Man, I hate to keep picking favorites, but Lando is the favorite here, and I gotta go with him. Green, you know, really, Green beats the shit out of a lot of guys he goes against that are ill-equipped to deal with the pressure that he brings forward. And Green is great at causing pressure, and his boxing technique is awesome. He throws with a lot of power. His footwork's great. But Lando really showed a lot of toughness and resiliency against Tony Ferguson. And I think the reason that he is the favorite here is because Green is almost Ferguson just scaled down. And the successes we saw Lando have against Green, I think people are picking Lando. You know, how big of a favorite is Lando here? He's -165 to Green, +155. So it's relatively close, like it should be. You know, I might actually just go Green here. I mean, Bobby Green, I feel like I haven't seen him fight in a while now. It's one of these guys who back, you know, 2014, 2013, we were talking about a shitload. Yeah, he fought three times in 2013, twice in 2014, then took almost 2 years off, lost to Dustin Poirier at UFC 199. Since then, has only fought once, decision loss to Rashid Magomedov earlier this year at UFC on Fox, Mighty Mouse versus Wilson Hayes. So, man, I don't know. Losses against guys like Rashid Magomedov, I don't know if you're going to be. And it was a close fight. It was a split. I think this will be a close fight. Fuck it. I will give it to the underdog, Bobby Green. Tom Dukanoy versus Cody Stamann. The Frenchman has, I mean, you look at his highlight reel, and he's got knockout after knockout. He's got these razor sharp elbows you haven't seen since watching Kenny Florian back in the day. Cody Stamann, though, is going to be his first real test, his first real stiff wrestler he goes up against. I think he wins, albeit I think he might need to go to a decision. I don't know if he gets the knockout, but again, you know, if it does get finished, it's for sure going to the Frenchman, but it might be a toss-up if it goes to the decision, just because Stamann's got that wrestling. And yeah, this is another close one. Stamann just plus 140, and Tom Duquesnoy minus 150. And I know I'm saying his name completely horrible, but I don't know French, so apologies. Those are the FX prelims. Pat, who you got? I'm about to mute the shit out of my phone.
I mean, hey, you know what? You hear it all the time. You hear it all the time with, you know, on the big networks. It happens. That's the beauty of live shows. The preliminary card, it's so funny because it is, as the Fight Pass portion of the card, I know everybody. The preliminary card, really only Bobby Green and Lando Vannata am I super familiar with. Marco Beltran, I just remember him from getting beat up pretty bad in his last fight. I'm taking Chanel over him just simply for that fact. Poliana Botelho, and I apologize for my pronunciations as well. I'm sure I'm not very close on these. Decent-sized favorite over Pearl Gonzalez. I'm going with Vegas in this one pretty simply. Pearl, as you mentioned, she lost in her UFC 210 fight. Again, that's all I'm familiar with. Pollyanna is being favored in this one, so far be it from me to disagree with Vegas here. Bobby Green versus Lando Vannata. Now, this is definitely, in my opinion, maybe should be the featured bout on FX. But, I mean, Tom Duquesne and Cody Stamann, some good young prospects. So, I mean, you know, good top two fights here. Green, I'm a big fan of Green. Also a fan of Vannata, even in his short tenure in the UFC. He's shown some good skills, and he's shown a really, really unique fighting style. However, his last fight, I want to say he won the first round pretty handily against David Tamer, and then Tamer just came back and ended up getting the decision. I was pretty surprised at that one. I thought Lando had the talent to get that one done. It was looking pretty good for him in the early going, to my recollection. But I think, you know, I'm going to go with the favorite in this one. I'm going to go with Vannata, although Green can certainly finish anybody. He's got great wrestling. He's got great hands. And you know what? That's actually making, you know, Green, the wrestling is always the X factor, at least a lot of times. If he can control where this fight's going to go, that's a huge portion of it. But screw it, I'm going with the relative newcomer. I'm taking Lando Groovy Vannata to dispatch a Bobby Green. Won't be disappointed however that fight plays out, though. Much love for Bobby Green. Tom Duquesne versus Cody Stamann, a couple bright young prospects. I'm going with the Fire Kid in this one. A lot of heat with the Fire Kid. A lot of high
Duquesne. I think, all right.
Because I don't know. Again, I'm kind of going out on a limb with that one anyways. yeah, I think he will get it done. He's got a solid skill set. Cody Stamann, though, very solid himself. I mean, this is a couple really good prospects here. I think, again, I'm going to go with Vegas just because, hey, typically they know. But, I mean, you got Stamann at 15-1, and the Fire Kid, he's coming in also at 15-1. So with one no contest as well, going to be a great, great fight. Hopefully, we get to see these guys at compete at a high level at 135 pounds. Also, Tom Duquesne training at Jackson Wink MMA. When I see that, that's a lot of times, that's just the deal sealer, if you will. So I think I'm going to ride with Duquesne in this one.
When you have Yoda in your corner, that's always a huge advantage. Let's break down those first two fights on the main card. We have Beniel DeRush versus Evan Dunham at lightweight. And at women's flyweight, that's right, women's 125, we're starting to see that division open up. We have Mara Romelo Barea versus Kalindra Feria. I know a lot more about the first two guys, Beniel DeRush and Evan Dunham, because we haven't, I think, seen either Barea or Feria in the UFC yet. When it comes to DeRush versus Dunham, Dunham has a very difficult skill set to beat because he's a great wrestler. He's got an iron chin. He's got, you know, solid stand up. He's not easy to beat. But I think DeRush has those skills. I think his counters, his stand up is a little bit better. His defensive wrestling will allow him, you know, Evan, you in a lot of fights where the other guy can beat him standing up, Evan can take the fight to the ground or at lynch, or at least to the clinch. DeRush is, I think, a defensively skilled enough wrestler that he'll keep it standing, land enough counters. He's pretty accurate. I don't think he finishes it. Evan, you know, I don't really see possessing the skills to finish the fight either. So I see it going to the decision, and I see DeRush winning it. And Barella versus Feria, I see another decision. I see this a fight where Barella's probably going to want to bring the fight to the ground, which I've done minimal scouting on this, but from what I've seen, Barella likes to fight on the ground, get those takedowns, and Faria is just bigger, stronger, is not going to allow that to happen. Keep it standing up and we'll win a decision. As far as the odds go, DeRush -215, Faria -225. So I'm taking the favorites, but that's the way the cookie crumbles for me for those fights. Pat, who you got?
So oh, thousand Pat, pardons.
The mute.
Yeah. Always coming back. Always coming back to get me. You know, I've really been looking at this one. Evan Dunham, the past couple days as I've been looking at this fight card, he is a prime candidate for my underdog of the week pick. Technically, I've seen him all around +200, +180, I want to say, at the different books. And I feel like he can get the job done. I feel like if you're looking for that underdog bet, Evan Dunham is probably going to be one of your best chances. Well, him and Bobby Green, truthfully. Evan Dunham, as you mentioned, I mean, he's got just a great toolbox. He's got the he's got a great skill set, striking, wrestling. I remember he had a great scrap with the Muscle Shark, Sean Sherk. Really, Dunham, he's been around for a while himself. And Dariush, he has gotten better and better as time goes on. He's another one of those guys. He started primarily as a grappler, as a wrestler, and he's got very strong grappling and wrestling skills. The chin was a little questionable. I want to say he got finished a time or two with some strikes. But he's really really made strides, went the decision with Edson Barbosa. In his last fight, took the L there, but looking to rebound. He was on a very good win streak prior to that, and he hung in tough with Barbosa. I mean, I thought he was going to get finished against Barbosa. So I think if Dunham does win this, he's going to have to take him to the distance unless he just lands a real, real clean strike. We have seen Dunham finish people before. A little more rare, but I think Dunham is a good underdog bet if you're looking for something to put a couple bucks on this afternoon. And I think he's got a good shot too. I'm going with Dunham. I think he'll get it done. I mean, really could go either way. I think, but yeah, just I'm getting that underdog. I'm whiffing that underdog. And as far as the women's flyweight, as you mentioned, starting to come together here. Mara Romero Borea versus Kalindra Faria. Not familiar with either of them. I mean, come on, they don't have Wikipedias. This is a division that the UFC basically just created a couple months ago. Come on, give me a break, people. Give me a break, people. Come on now. I don't know who they are. I don't know what's going on here. I think, again, go with Vegas, man. You got to follow Vegas. They're taking Kalindra. I'm taking Kalindra. Hopefully it'll be a good scrap, though. 125. Good to see them opening up more weight classes for the ladies.
For the ladies. When you say you're taking Kalindra, it sounds like you're on a new prescription drug or some shit.
Side effects may include
sweaty balls. Let's move on to the co-main event. Demetrius Johnson against Ray Borg. You know, we have Fabricio Werdum versus Derek Lewis, but that has been scrapped. Man, it's hard to break this fight down, because every fight breakdown, I like to say, you know, well, this guy brings this to the table, and this is how he could win. This other guy brings this to the table, and that's how he could win. Demetrius Johnson is as close as we have to the perfect fighter on the planet. I mean, the guy is incredible on the ground. His striking is insane. Ray Borg, you know, his best quality, I guess, is the scramble. He's really good at scrambling. He's going up against Demetrius Johnson, probably the best scrambler in MMA by a long shot. I mean, it's not he's gone up against ground wizards and absolutely put them away. He's gone up against, you know, fucking heavy KO hitters like John Dodson and taken hits for 10 minutes before taking the fight over and dominating the next 15. The guy can do so much. He's so talented. It's really hard to pick against him. And I mean, I was just chatting with our old friend Ross Finkelstein, E before the L, the intelligent Jew. I was chatting with him earlier, and I was like, man, it's hard not to pick a guy who's 10-1. And, you know, you would think just because the fact that it's a fight and anything could happen, and they're both two humans, they're two mortals at the same weight, that no, you know, no person should have 10-1 odds unless they have, like, a giant, you know, pool cue they get to use, or a chainsaw, or a gun, or something. Like, 10-1 odds means you are so many standard deviations ahead of that other person. But here, that's understandable. I mean, Demetrius Johnson is, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to really plant a flag as the greatest of all time, just because he's a flyweight, and just because, and it's no knock to him, but he won't ever have the quality of opponent like a George St. Pierre or a John Jones. Going for number 11 tonight, it's no problem. Whether he wants to finish it striking, whether he wants to choke the guy out, whether he wants to catch him in a leg lock, it's his choice. Mighty Mouse gets number 11 tonight and officially, I guess, becomes the, I mean, just by definition, you know, you would think, who is the best champ ever? Well, who had the most title defenses? And by definition, tonight, Mighty Mouse has the chance, barring, you know, Borg winning would be the biggest upset. It would surpass Sarah St. Pierre 1 as the biggest upset of all time, easily. But yeah, I have Johnson here getting number 11 and becoming, I guess by definition, the greatest UFC champ of all time, to add some veritas to it. Pat, who you got?
Oh, Jake, well, I think myself and the majority of the population is taking Johnson in this one. But really, I was reading an article last night, and it was from Demetrius Johnson's camp, and they were talking about, you know, how is Demetrius not the best of all time with Anderson Silva and John Jones both pissing hot? And I said, dang, you know, that's a great point. Once you have that stigma of having pissed hot, it kind of brings into question everything you've done before and really puts you under the microscope for everything you're going to do afterwards. We saw how John Jones has responded to that. He got popped again. He's failed three different tests. Demetrius Johnson has never had that issue. He was one of the best at 135 pounds. And I say that in spite of the fact I kind of thought he lost to Miguel Angel Torres. I want to say it was like a UFC on Fuel card, but he got the decision in spite of getting his leg broken in that fight. But since going down to 125 pounds, he has absolutely decimated everybody, save for that draw to Uncle Creepy, which, again, talk about fuck-ups, should have gone to a fourth round sudden death to crown the inaugural champion. But since that fight, he came back from that fight, demolished Uncle Creepy, and has absolutely demolished everybody since. I was never a big fan of Demetrius Johnson. You know, I've ever since the WEC days, you know, I gravitated more to your Cerrones and your Condits. Johnson always seemed, you know, just the 135-pound wrestler, not a whole lot, kind of the blanket strategy. That was all I really recalled from his fights. Was never a huge fan of his until he got down to 125 pounds. As soon as he got that title, I don't know what it was, but he just started putting everything together. Maybe it was the fact that he was now competing against guys who were the same size as him and not undersized, so he could really let it all hang out. And since then, he has looked absolutely unbeatable. Beat Ali, the Puncher King, Baga Utinov, who was blood doping at the time, and he beat the absolute piss out of him. It was not even a contest. And there's been very few flyweights who've been able to make it a contest with Demetrius Johnson. And now, especially if we look at quality of opponents, Jake, I got to ask you, I got to put you on the spot here. How many Olympic gold medalist wrestlers has GSP knocked out in the first round?
Well, we could say anything. How many former UFC champions? How many Pride champions? But I will play along.
True.
I don't think GSP's knocked out any gold medalist wrestlers.
Anderson Silva? John Jones?
Zero and zero, I would say.
Zero and zero. I mean, now, you look at the competition base for amateur wrestling, we're talking about the entire world. Henry Cejudo couldn't even get a takedown on Demetrius Johnson. He tuned him up something devastating in their fight, knocked him out emphatically in the first round, wasn't able to do a damn thing against Demetrius. And to me, that says a lot. You're taking on a guy who was the Olympic gold medalist in wrestling, put him down real quick, and he's been able to do it against opponents from all different skill sets and still not popping hot. So I think, you know, there's a great case for Demetrius, if he secures this win tonight, for being the greatest fighter the UFC has ever seen. It's taken me a while to come.
Yeah, I mean, it's you make a very compelling argument there. Yeah,
I mean, you know, it's taken me a while to come around to the idea, but just in light of the way things have been going recently, I think the best argument is for Demetrius' case. Now, Ray Borg probably shouldn't be a minus 1,000 or minus 1,100 those are Demetrius' odds, but he probably shouldn't be as big of an underdog as he is. He is a talented fighter. He does have a lot of skill. Very, very slick on the ground. But again, I go back, if your Olympic gold medalist wrestler isn't even able to get a takedown on Demetrius, how is Ray Borg going to take this one? I think, I think Demetrius just is steps ahead everywhere this fight goes, and I think it could be a first round finish, or it could be like his fight with Horiguchi, where he finishes him at the 24th minute and 59th second, or something like that. I think a finish is at hand here.
Yeah,
I think Demetrius is going to get that W.
And it is hard not. I mean, personally, if you ask me who is the GOAT, to me, the three guys that come to mind are Demetrius Johnson, GSP, and Daniel Cormier. Which I include Cormier for the same reason that pushed John Jones and Anderson Silva out of the discussion, which is they're juicers. And, you know, we can have this debate another day, but Demetrius Johnson is probably the front runner in that list. 11 wins in a row, and yeah, you know, neither guy has, whether it's Cormier or GSP, defeated an Olympic gold medalist. Although you could also ask how many former UFC champions has each guy beat.
That's very clever. Very clever. That's
very clever. Let's get to this main event here. Tony Ferguson, Kevin Lee. Ferguson the favorite. Ferguson just known to pour on the pressure against Kevin Lee. We were going to see Ferguson versus Nurmagomedov for an interim lightweight championship. Nurmagomedov just can't make weight, though. So now we're seeing Lee. Ferguson, Lee had issues. I thought it was going to be deja vu all over again, but he ended up making weight. Pat, I'll let you break this one down first. Who you got in this one?
Oh, boy, Jake. Well, this one, to me, I mean, now, Kevin, this is almost an exact breakdown, in my opinion, or a very almost identical breakdown of the Demetrius Johnson versus Ray Borg fight. Tony, great skill set. He's got all the different tools in his toolbox, be it the grappling, the striking. He's creative. He gives you looks that you really don't see with a lot of other people. We've seen him pull some funky, you know, capoeira style stuff, but he's also got good, solid fundamentals. Kevin Lee, his nickname should be Solid Fundamentals. He's got, you know, the solid wrestling. I again, to draw the parallel, I kind of view him just, you know, more strictly in the grappling sense. His striking has come away. I mean, he's finishing people pretty emphatically, but, you know, that's mostly his grappling, his ground and pound, his pressure. If I recall, you know, even though he did get the victory over Michael Chiesa, I want to say Chiesa dropped him in the first round, but then, well, we all know how that fight ended up going. But Kevin Lee, he has, I hate to do it, I got to label him with the suspect chin. I mean, maybe he was underestimating Leandro Santos when he got knocked out. Maybe he thought he was going to go in there and just out-wrestle the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt and ended up getting caught with the punch. Who knows? Because he's looked phenomenal since then. Seems like he's got his head on straight. Seems very focused. He's definitely got a shot in this one. But, man, Tony Ferguson, his height, his reach, he's got a bit more range than Kevin Lee. I think he's going to use that to his advantage. I think he's going to put them things on Kevin Lee. I think if it goes to the ground, Ferguson will be able to do enough to gain his composure and possibly get it back standing. Very crafty everywhere this one goes. I've got to side with our boy Tony Ferguson here. El Cucuy. I'm going to say a round two knockout in this one, Jake. Via elbows. Getting real specific.
You know, I think Tony is the favorite here for a reason. And, you know, Lee, I don't know. Tony has shown a couple flaws in the last fight or two. I think Lando Venata really showed you how, even though he ended up losing that fight, I think Lee is going to be able to do what Venata did, but do it better, which is sort of take that pressure that Ferguson brings and counter and dodge punches and sort of treat it like a matador. Just get out of the way of the, you know, pressure and counter with the right hand or the double leg. If he can take Tony Ferguson's back, it's over. And the prelims have started, so I'm going to make my breakdown brief. I got Kevin Lee via rear naked choke. And that's all we got for the pre-fight show. Tune in after the fights are over. We're going to do a post-fight show, see how much more drunk Pat and I sound. We might have a beer or two each. We might get blackout. Who knows? It'll be a surprise.
I'm guessing it
You'll
may
have
be
to
significant.
Tune in and see. You'll have to tune in and see. But we will see who leaves Vegas with the flyweight belt and the interim lightweight belt. And we will be back, I guess, in a matter of hours when the pay-per-view ends. Thanks for tuning in. Pat, any last words for him before we get off?
Oof, I got my eyes on these prelims, Jake, ready to watch the action.
Yeah.
And
let's do it.
We'll be back shortly to recap for you fans.
Hell yeah, we will be back on later. Till then, we gone!